It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
Yeah. And you still like me or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Long before the shots fired at Concord were men and women of remarkable character and fortitude. An extraordinary spirit fueled the dreams they held. That spirit lived on to win liberty in the Revolution. It emboldened the underground railroads. It strengthened the brave souls at Normandy. It endured with those who gallantly fought the spread of communism. And on 9/11, that same spirit was found in the men and women storming the gates of death to save precious lives. The spirit of heroism thrives in the presence of tyranny, disaster. It is stronger than any virus. Yet there are those who condemn our heroes, seek to erase history and deconstruct the American ideal, remake America into something it was never intended to be. But the spirit of heroism stands in the breach. It lives in the heart, it breathes in the soul, and is woven into the courageous fabric of Americans like you. It preserves liberty. It strengthens families. It empowers the extraordinary. The spirit of heroism inspires us to act when others are in need, to do the right thing. Join us tonight. Dream heroic dreams. Celebrate America, land of the free, home of the brave.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. That was night three of the Republican convention, and it was a knockout again. It was encouraging. It makes you remember. They took us back to that fort where Francis Scott Key saw the battle overnight. I think it was the War of 1812. It was not the Civil War. It was not the Revolutionary War. It was later when the Britons and us got back into war, and they were bombarding our Navy in the harbor. It was Baltimore. And Francis Scott Key just watched because he wanted to see if the American flag was still standing after that night of battle. They didn't have Twitter, cell phones. They don't know. They just hear they see the sky lighting up with, you know, the firepower of the ships exchanging their gunfire. And in the morning, that's when he saw the flag was still waving. And he wrote that, "Oh, say, can we see the Star-Spangled Banner, that it's still waving." And it's just a beautiful story. And that was the spot where they focused on having the convention last night. I found it just encouraging, and I wanted to start the show with that because heaven knows that there's lots of discouraging news today. But this is also true. You know, these good things are also true. And sometimes because our news media, and I'm part of it, not news, I'm a commentator, but I bring you news and commentate on it. Our media is saturated with these horrible things that are happening, and it weighs so heavily on us. We can't deny that they're happening. But we also can't deny that there are still some wonderful things happening. There are wonderful people in this country. And I think Congressman Dan Crenshaw, of course, is from Houston. This is his first term as a freshman. I've gotten to know him a bit. I interviewed him before he won that seat. And my husband and I sat with him and his sweetheart at South Dakota recently. Dan lost his eye in combat in Afghanistan. He is an American hero, and he came back and got his master's degree from Harvard. It's very clear that Dan Crenshaw is a brilliant guy, and he had a part of the convention last night, and I want us to listen to it. It's clip 5.
Hi, I'm Congressman Dan Crenshaw. 8 years ago, in the fields of Helmand Province, Afghanistan,
Close friend and teammate laid down cover fire against Taliban insurgents so that I could walk, blind and bloodied, to the medevac helicopter and survive. But he didn't. Dave Worson was killed 2 months later. He died a hero to this great country. Here's the truth about America. We are a country of heroes. I believe that, so should you. We are a people with a common set of ideals conceived in liberty. People that have sacrificed time and again for our freedom and the freedom of others. That's something no other country ever, anywhere, can claim. Since 9/11, I've seen America's heroes up close. Some of them saved my life, some of them saved many others' lives. Many of them never made it home. These heroes acted as if the whole struggle depended on them alone, as if any weakness on their part would be a reflection of the whole nation. That's called duty. And America has a long history of it. Our enemies fear us because Americans fight for good, and we know it. It gives us strength. When our heroes are trusted and equipped, then freedom prevails. The defeat of ISIS was the result of America believing in our heroes, our president having their backs and rebuilding our military so we'd have what we needed to finish the mission. The cowering of the Iranian regime and the restoration of the deterrence once lost is the result of America believing in her own might again. But America's heroism isn't relegated to the battlefield. Every single day we see them, if you just know where to look. It's the nurse who volunteers for back-to-back shifts caring for COVID patients because she feels that's her duty. It's the parent who will relearn algebra because there's no way they're letting their kid fall behind while schools are closed. And it's the cop that gets spit on one day and will save a child's life the next. America is the country where the young military wife with two young children answers the unexpected knock at the door, looks the man in uniform in the eye, and even as her whole world comes crashing down, she stands up straight, she holds back tears, and takes care of her family, because she must. This is what heroism looks like. It's who we are, nation of heroes. And we need you now more than ever. We need to remind ourselves what heroism really is. Heroism is self-sacrifice. It's not moralizing and lecturing over others when they disagree. Heroism is grace, not perpetual outrage. Heroism is rebuilding our communities, not destroying them. Heroism is renewing faith in the symbols that unite us, not tearing them down. You see, America is a fabric. It's woven from the threads of history's best stories, best attributes, and greatest ideas. The American spirit reflects the oldest and most important virtues: self-sacrifice, courage, tolerance, love of country, grace, and passion for human achievement. We can decide right now that American greatness will not be rejected nor squandered. As the American founding was grounded in individual liberty, so will be our future. But if we are to rediscover our strength, then it must be an endeavor undertaken by each and every one of us. We must become the heroes that we so admire. America was built by them, and our future will be protected by them. It will be protected by you. So God bless America.
Congressman Dan Crenshaw, and I have to say, that's like a throwing down a baton. And look, the call is for you to rise to the occasion. I had a conversation with Lieutenant General Boykin this week, and you may hear it tomorrow, about what the comparison between boys today that are going into the military and the men that he served with when he was founding Delta Force. And it wasn't only body strength that's different now, because boys are not as active, but it's mental strength. It's the will. It's the will to sacrifice. It's the determination to finish, to reach the goal, to stop giving up. And I think that that's probably, you know, that's true of women too. Can we not reach down deep, dig down deep, and fight and stick to whatever we know is right? Can we not sit in a restaurant and refuse to cave to the demands of the screaming mobs? Can we take a risk, you know, do we have to stay hovered in our houses because of the very tiny outside chance you might get sick? When you should be out in the streets doing something, you should get active, you should be in church. Can we stop our fear and our selfishness and our weakness And that's what I hear Dan. He's standing there. He's given his eye. You know, when I first met him, he was shy and I think a little uncertain. Probably traumatized would be the word. I recognized it from people I've seen in my travels that have been traumatized in various countries. There's a look of that, and I felt that he had that. He was very reticent and uncertain, and oh my goodness, has he blossomed. This is a guy with courage, and he's saying to you and to me, have courage. It's in our veins. It's in our fathers, our grandfathers who fought in World War II. Come on. Let's rise up to this occasion and fight and stop, you know, like worrying so much about our personal interests, the wounds that we have, our needs. We have the time. That's the problem. We have so much. We are so indulged. And that goes for me too. My hand is raised because that we introspect too much about our own comforts, our own wants, our rathers, our druthers, our whatever, our family relationships. Somebody hurt us or somebody said this. You know, stop ruminating on that and get your mind set on things above, greater things than you. I need to set my mind on greater things than me and my own concerns. Are you willing? What are you willing to do? You know, the Bible says very clearly that those that would save their life will lose it. You cling. I'm afraid. Stop being afraid. My Chinese friends, I remember them saying, more than one person said to me, when I had interviewed them after they'd been arrested, spent nearly a year in jail, or were, you know, losing all kinds of things that you and I would say, oh, that's terrible. But they're saying to me, it was when they stopped being afraid that they felt free. I heard that over and over again. When I stopped being afraid, then I felt free, and they were filled with joy. Stop being afraid and be bold, especially the number one thing is for the gospel. Talking about Jesus right now, just take the gloves off and be bold. And, you know, let God use you. You are his vessel if you know him. Some of you don't know him, so I'm not talking to you. But we want to talk to you. We want you to see Jesus. And that might come in a way you don't expect. It's not, you know, necessarily Mr. Meek and Mild. It's like it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's powerful truth that has power. And by the way, I want to say the convention last night, not last night, but the last three nights, at least as of Monday night, I don't know what the updated ratings are on this, but they are getting six times as many views as the DNC. Now, I say that not out of a competition like that. That's what this is all about. My point in that would be that I read a lot of your email and correspondence this morning. I may not have a chance to talk about all of it, but one common theme was how do I tell my kids, my friends who hate the president, who just don't know all that I know because I listen to AFR or other outlets, how do I bridge that gap? And I just want to encourage you that truth just is powerful. Just say the truth. 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 Truth is powerful. And truth will win out. I think that's the reason why that the RNC is resonating with people. Because they're speaking the truth. It's just regular people talking about their lives and their experiences, and they're speaking the truth from their heart, and it has power. It has much more power than the lies that we're hearing from the left. And so there's a lot more to say about, of course, there is always a lot more to say, but there's a lot more to say about the RNC. If I have a chance to say it, I will. But I want to talk to you about, meanwhile, you know, the hurricane is just, you know, raging down in Louisiana and Texas. Some of you are probably caught in that. 150 mile per hour winds. It's a Category 4 storm. And so our prayers go out to you. You've got other things on your mind besides this. But the storm will pass. We do pray that you will be safe through this. But if you're not safe, we pray that you know Jesus and we'll see you in heaven. I mean, that's really kind of where it is. Don't we kind of learn a lot about how we really feel and think when we face danger? Doesn't that kind of reveal? And so I'm encouraging you guys down there to have courage too. And if we can help in any way, and I'm sure we will. Plus, there's all kinds of trouble in Kenosha. There's more trouble in Minneapolis tonight and last night. And so I want to at least touch on that, and then I want to open the phone line. So, okay, stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk. ¶¶
Well, these are certainly tough, tough times, aren't they? Hi, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years at only $5 a Bible. You know, I'm grateful that God has given Bible League a platform for more than 8 decades to address the other pandemic, and that's the shortage of Bibles all over the world in places like Asia, Africa, the Middle East, and Latin America. In fact, at Bible League, we determine that as few as 1 Christian in 10 has a Bible. What's that mean? That during this pandemic, many evangelical Christians elsewhere in the world cannot open their Bible and be reminded of God's promises, like 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you. But you know, during this time of sheltering in place, we can shelter in grace. Learn how you can be a blessing to believers around the world praying for a Bible by visiting sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org, or by calling Bible League at 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD.
America is in peril. We see rioting in the streets with no regard for life or personal property. For the first time in America's history, we intentionally collapsed our economy over a viral threat originating in China. Mayors and governors are demanding that churches and businesses close, while abortion clinics, liquor stores, and big box stores are open. Pastor, are you prepared to lead and protect your flock during these troubling days? The upcoming retreat, America at the Crossroads, a 911 call for pastors, can help. It's August 30th through September 2nd in Grapevine, Texas. Become equipped to address such issues as Black Lives Matter, critical race theory, cultural Marxism, and COVID-19. Scheduled speakers include Dr. Robert Jeffress, Bishop E.W. Jackson, Dr. Rick Scarborough, and others. Register today at libertypastors.com. Again, that's libertypastors.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. I need you to do something right now, folks. Text #250 with the keyword baby. We are in a crisis point in American history, and there is growing concern that the nation's abortion rate is about to explode. So I need your help right now to save the life of an unborn child. And that's why I'm partnering with Preborn, an organization equipping pregnancy centers with ultrasound machines. 80% of women who have an ultrasound save their child. So get on your phone right now. Text #250 with the keyword baby. Text #250 with the keyword baby. Nicholas Sandman is the poster child for the cancel culture movement. The Covenant Catholic High School student intentionally maligned by the mainstream media simply because he was a pro-life, pro-Trump Christian. Nicholas told his story to the nation during a speech at the RNC.
I learned what was happening to me had a name. It was called being canceled, as in annulled, as in revoked, as in made void. Canceled is what's happening to people around this country who refuse to be silenced by the far left. Many are being fired, humiliated, or even threatened. And often, the media is a willing participant. But I would not be canceled.
Nicholas Sandman taught all of us a lesson. When the cancel culture mob shows up at your front door, you don't back down. You stand up and you fight. Be sure to listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern and download my free podcast at toddstarnes.com.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
We're protecting from the citizens, and I just got pepper sprayed by a person in the crowd.
So you have non-lethal, but you didn't respond.
We don't have non-lethal.
So you guys are full on ready to defend the property?
Yes, we are.
Hey,
no,
medic.
I can ask, can you guys step back? Hey. Medical,
EMS right here.
I'm an EMT.
Need a medic?
All right, that's the sound of the voice of Kyle Rittenhouse. That's the 17-year-old who was arrested in Kenosha for murder. He was, it's unclear, the details of it, as I mentioned. That was an interview with someone, I believe, from The Blaze. And Kyle was, there's a picture of him also featured at his high school washing the graffiti off with a bunch of kids. They were trying to clean it up, and that was, I believe, in Antioch. He's from Antioch. But what we do know is that Kyle had an AR-15. He was in the crowd in Kenosha yesterday. I guess I'm losing the days here. Yesterday, I believe it was. And there was video of an altercation where he's being chased, but then he turns around and he shoots. I saw the shooting of one. Allegedly, Kyle has killed two and shot one more. I don't know enough about it. I've read a lot, but it's still unclear, and so you can't really declare. It looks like one of the persons that he shot, according to what I'm reading in Breitbart and also The Blaze, was carrying something, and someone said it's a plastic bag that had something, I don't know what, in it, and they were threatening Kyle. I don't know. I can't look. He's 17 years old. 17 years old. I think the thing we can say for sure is that there is lawlessness in the country, and a 17-year-old boy, black and white, are being killed and killing because the authorities, the grown-ups, are, you know, home hiding. The police are trying to do their job, and then as soon as they do something, so the rule of law, Kyle, according to what he said there, he's trying to protect people, protect property. Well, he didn't. You know, he ended up killing a couple of people. So I don't know. But the thing of it is, it's lawlessness. And we are losing our kids on both sides. There was a shooting. I'm going to stay in Kenosha just for a second, because Jacob Blake is the one who was shot in the back by the policeman. And you remember the story was that the police, he was unarmed and the police shot him. You saw the video probably. But yesterday, someone sent me a picture of Jacob, a screenshot of him carrying a knife. It was a different side of that video, and it was the only place I saw it. I think it might have come from a law enforcement source, and now it's finally being reported that he did have a knife, and that police told him to drop that, and also that he had a history of attacking the police. And also a history of carrying, he was known to carry a gun in his car. So those are factors. Look, he's a lawless young guy too, 24, something like that? His kids were in the car, but we're not clear about what that's about. It looks like I can't say. It's a girl that whose home he was in was the one that called the police. And he has been... It's been said that he was trying to sort of calm things down, but it doesn't sound like from other reports. So I just don't know. The problem is we just have chaos. Last night in Kenosha, there were more police out and I believe some National Guard. And there were some reports that it was a little calmer, but who knows? I mean, already enough has happened, for heaven's sake. In that small town, enough has happened. People's businesses destroyed, white and black. People have awakened in this last 3 days and their livelihoods have been destroyed. And then we go up to Minneapolis. In Minneapolis, another black man was killed by gunfire. But the story on the street was that the police killed him. But the inspector, or whatever they call that, the authorities up there, who are not exactly conservative, are saying that's not at all what happened, that he actually was a gunman. I don't know if he had killed someone or shot someone. They were after him. He was with a woman. He actually turned the gun on himself and killed himself when the police pulled up, that they had nothing to do with killing him. But that didn't matter to the rioters. They went into Nicollet Mall, which is downtown Minneapolis. If you've been to Minneapolis, it's a beautiful place, and they've already done a tremendous amount to destroy it. But they started breaking into stores. They looted Saks Fifth Avenue. There are lots of videos of this. And stealing merchandise. And so the mayor of Minneapolis, that Jacob Frey, who's, you know, very young and very woke, but actually sort of pulled back from the Black Lives Matter protesting, said, what we're calling for right now is peace. This destruction and property damage just takes away from the underlying goal. See, the problem is, and then Governor Tim Walz said this, it's time to heal Minneapolis. We must rebuild and recover. The problem is what we see happening is, I believe, becoming increasingly just more criminal. Nothing to do with some lofty goal of civil rights for black Americans. You know, it's just becoming chaos and people are being killed and people's livelihoods are being destroyed. And it's just so sad to watch. Interestingly enough, the media, you wonder why your kids, your grandkids, your neighbors, your friends have a different view on this. Because if they're watching a different outlet, they don't have a clue. As a matter of fact, if I could find these, let's see. CNN was covering the riots in Kenosha, and this is how it came up on the screen. Omar Jimenez, I guess is how you say his name, was the correspondent, and he's standing in the foreground. And in the background, you have all of this burning and cars, you know, decimated. And underneath on the Chyron, you know, those letters that go down below the screen, it said, "Fiery but mostly peaceful protesters after police shooting." So, initially, they had had violent protesters, but like in a few seconds, they had removed violent from the description, and it just said protesters. So fiery, but mostly peaceful protesters. And you can see him standing there with all this stuff happening behind him, the fires. So that's CNN, you know, it's, you know, mostly peaceful. And if you were watching, let's see, if you were listening to MSNBC, you heard Joe Scarborough sort of talk about what was really happening. Let's listen to that clip, clip 12.
You have at the convention, Doc Rivers, extraordinary. You have at the convention the sons of a billionaire who inherited $400 million talking about fear, stirring fear, trying to stir fear. Among white voters in the suburbs that the blacks are coming to get you. Talking about the fear, making up, just making things up. Talking about the fear, they're coming for you. They're going to abolish the suburbs. Gangs are coming to your neighborhoods and are going to kill you and your families. They talk about fear, Shauna, and yet, as Doc Rivers said, Donald Trump never had to sit his sons down and have the talk with his sons that, hey, you know, if you get stopped while you're driving in your Porsche or your Lamborghini or whatever they drive in, as you're going down to Atlantic City, turn the lights on inside the car, keep your hands on the dashboard, because if you make the wrong move, you may get shot.
That's unbelievable. I mean, we know because, well, I guess if you really know what's going on, we think of the McCloskeys in St. Louis, who the Black Lives Matter protesters broke down the gate and were threatened, surrounded their house, at least on one side, the side that was open to the street, and threatened them. You know, I said, they were, you know, that we're going to kill you, and we're going to kill your dog. And when I come in, I'm going to pick out my room. That'll be my room. This is what they were doing. But, of course, to Joe, that's fantasy. And I played for you this last week a couple of videos where protesters were going into neighborhoods. Well, they did it in Beverly Hills. They did it in, let's see, where I'm trying to figure out. I can't remember the other neighborhood that they were in, but they were shouting, waking people up, you know, putting lasers in their bedroom windows, with, you know, really vulgar language. If we can't sleep, you can't sleep. And I mean, it's, yeah, so I guess, you know, I guess maybe Joe missed that. And then when he talks, he makes it class envy, like because the president's sons are wealthy, raised by a wealthy father, and are themselves wealthy, that means that they can't possibly relate to black men in the culture. Well, that part's probably true. But do you think that Donald Trump's sons are not in constant danger? Anybody think that maybe they are in, like, danger all the time, they and their wives and kids? Do you think their lives have changed any at all since their father became president? I kind of think so. So that's the kind of junk that people are hearing on the media. There's more to say about that, but I want to go to a couple of email, if I could. This is one from, let's see if I can find it. It's one, a person who was watching that, just a minute, people were in a restaurant in Columbia Heights, which is a kind of a nice area of Washington, and these Black Lives Matter protesters, who happened to be all white, by the way, came to the outdoor, it was the outside dining, and these people were sitting there, and they were forcing them, well, trying to force them to raise their fist, and declare their loyalty to Black Lives Matter, that they were in solidarity. And so this one girl, would not hold her fist up. And so they lean over her They scream in her face. They've got their fists. I mean, these are all white kids. They are not black, but they're Black Lives Matter. Of course, you know, because it's a Marxist group, not to be confused with the people who really believe Black Lives Matter, not them. But this is a question from Amy. She said that she and her husband were talking about that. They saw the videos. And I asked my husband what he would do if that happened to us. And he said he'd probably get hurt because he'd punch somebody. What can we as regular American citizens do? Please go over some practical things people should do when faced with such a potentially threatening situation. Also, can individual protesters not be sued for a variety of things like harassment, disturbing the peace, infringing on the right to the pursuit of happiness, trespassing, threatening behavior, destruction of private property? Why are the citizens of some of these cities being destroyed? Why are they not calling for the impeachment of their mayors and governors for dereliction of duty? There must be a smart way to deal with anarchists. To me, it just looks like mostly people are sitting on their hands and their mouths closed out of fear. Please help us with some practical ideas. Amy, I read your email because I didn't have a chance to give this a lot of thought this morning. Not that even if I did, I could come up with the perfect solution. So I'm going to just throw that out for discussion this morning about what you would suggest, all of you listening. If you found yourself in that situation, you were in an open-air restaurant or even inside a restaurant, because they're going inside also, this is not the first time, and demanding that you express loyalty to Black Lives Matter. It's not the first time they're doing it in lots of ways. Pledges is what Marxists do. You know, say this or you'll be killed. But they're not killing you, but you can see that's kind of, you know, imagine they think they're righteous, you see. They think they have a righteous cause, and I think some of them would be willing, if the law allowed or if we had a different kind of administration, I don't know that there'd be a lot of restraint right now. But our phone number is 888-589-8840. What do you think? Maybe some of you are part of law enforcement, or maybe some of you have had this experience, and you have a suggestion about how we should behave. It's 888-589-8840. And then I'm going to read this one from a listener, withhold her name. This is another mother who's written me about concerns about her kids. So she says that her kids, and I'll just leave it as vague as I can, grown kids are well-educated. They've adopted a black child, and they fear for his life because they have swallowed the Democratic far-left agenda. Their news sources are liberal media. They're liberals who are convinced Trump is a racist, that their son may die in the streets because of Donald Trump. They teach their young children that the president is a bad man. Being a conservative Christian, I've tried to explain to them on numerous occasions what the Democratic Party stands for. They think Barack Obama and Michelle are saints. They can do no wrong, and they support Joe Biden. Social justice is their life, and they see nothing wrong with the BLM organization. They are for gay rights and support their gay friends. I tell them I stand for what God's scripture says, not against their friends. They tell me they love and respect me, but do not trust where I get my information. I listen to AFR, Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, and they have told me I cannot talk about President Trump in their home, but they can bash him and praise Obama. And so she says some other things. It's a long, I don't want to give any identifiers, but let me just say that she's struggling with the same thing that the other listener that wrote us recently about this struggles with. She says, I have come to the conclusion you advised your listener. I cannot change their minds or hearts. I pray constantly for them that God will help them see the truth. Yeah, I think, I don't know what I said the last time. The things I do remember are these. One thing I don't think you should do is be silent. I don't think you should harp at your kids or nag them. But I don't think you should not say anything. I think that's kind of the default mode that's because it divides us. But did not Jesus say that he came to divide families, fathers against, you know, sons, daughters against mothers, brothers and sisters against each other? Not because he wanted that, but because the message of the gospel and the truth is a divisive thing. It sets people against each other. And I guess I would say, my friend listener, that, you know, you have to tell your kids, if they claim the name of Jesus, Jesus quite clearly said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about the issue of homosexuality. That's just one indicator that maybe they're not quite in tune with who Jesus is and what it means to be a Christian. And that might be your problem right there, maybe much deeper spiritually than maybe you recognize. All right, we'll be right back. Sandy Rios in the Morning, AFR Talk.
You know our country needs prayer. Franklin Graham knows it too.
As I stand in our nation's capital, the only hope for America is God. And on the 26th of September, I'm holding a prayer march, and we're going to go from what's behind me, the Lincoln Memorial, all the way down to the Capitol, praying for our nation.
Make plans to join Franklin Graham September 26th in Washington, D.C. All the details for the prayer march are at billygraham.org. That's billygraham.org.
Have you been looking for a way to serve others? Are you able to serve in a ministry without being paid? You and Friendships might be the perfect match. Friendships is currently taking applications for volunteers providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished, both here at home and around the world. Get more information at friendships.org or by calling 337-433-5022.
They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. These words were shared between Cleopas and his companion on the 7-mile walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus as Jesus, in resurrected form, used the Hebrew scriptures to reveal himself to them as the Messiah. There are at least 109 distinct biblical prophecies the Messiah had to fulfill. The mathematical probability of such a feat occurring is astoundingly absurd, yet that absurdity is satisfied in Jesus, the Messiah. Come, let us adore him.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner. For more, from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here. The left condemns President Trump in particular and conservatives in general as people who despise immigrants. That's a flat-out lie. At the RNC this year, President Trump presided over a ceremony in which five new American citizens from all over the world took the oath of allegiance to the United States. The First Lady of the United States is a woman who immigrated to the U.S. legally and took the same oath of allegiance. The truth is, we as conservatives welcome every immigrant who comes to this country legally, who plays by the rules, and who works to become a full-fledged American citizen with a sworn allegiance to our nation and our Constitution. The choice in November is clear. The Democrat candidate for president elevates the interests of illegal aliens over those of American citizens. The Republican candidate does not.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The Chinese Communist Party's military is conducting live-fire exercises in strategic waters of the Western Pacific, including splashing down in the South China Sea at least one so-called aircraft carrier killer ballistic missile. Like the illegal man-made islands the CCP has created and armed there, the message is unmistakable. China is determined to control the area and its use. The implications for our national security, commerce, and allies are huge. Fortunately, the Trump administration brought new leverage to bear yesterday by sanctioning 24 Chinese companies involved in the PRC's takeover of the South China Sea. The most important of these is the Chinese Communications Construction Corporation. It's also a prime mover behind the CCP's efforts to build an ominous global colonial empire. President Trump's latest sanctions are therefore a needed and welcome twofer for America and the free world. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
The hard truth is, you won't be safe in Joe Biden's America. And under President Trump, we will always stand with those who stand on the thin blue line, and we're not going to defund the police, not now, not ever.
That was Vice President Pence speaking last night. He did a great job, and that's one of the important lines that he presented. I'm going to go to the phones in just 1 second, but I want to say, Renee wrote, and I believe she's from Ohio, and she said after the interview with Hans von Spakovsky a couple of days ago on mail-in voting, she took Hans's advice, called her county office to see if she could get involved as a poll worker on the election day, and she found out that they've had tons of Democrats coming their way to do that. And hardly any Republicans, and they were very happy to hear from her. So let me tell you, you need to do that. You need to do that. And by the way, they pay. There was, don't be a volunteer, go in as a paid worker. I don't know if I made that clear, but that's what you need to do. In the last COVID relief package, they provided a lot of money for the elections for this purpose. And so if you're out of work or, you know, but not, look, no, do it for the money, but the money's just a benefit. And so call your county election office and tell them you want a job. You want to go to work. You want to be part of their team in the polling place. And so you could do tremendous amounts if you just do that, okay? All right, let's go to the phone lines. Let's. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. We were talking about these Black Lives Matter protesters going to restaurants, most recently an outdoor restaurant in Columbia Heights in the D.C. area, beautiful area, and standing over people, like getting right in their face and screaming, trying to force them to raise their fist. And my view of what I've seen of that, everybody did it. Everyone did it except this one girl. And they were merciless with it. They didn't hurt her. They didn't touch her. But she was leaning back in her chair and they were right in her face. It's just amazing. And the question is, what do we do when that happens? What should we do? All right. Let's go to Deborah. Actually, no, let's go to Essence in Texas. Good morning, Essence. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Sandy. I just wanted to say that I've told friends if they encounter a mob like that, just speak scripture. Just share Christ. I know it's scary while it's happening, so you can put it on a postcard and keep it in your pocket. Just write down, you know, pieces of scripture. And don't back down because we have the sword of the word and the demons in them will flee because that's what we're fighting, right? You have a blessed day, ma'am.
Okay, Essence, thank you. I think that's actually very good advice. I do. I think I've not been in that situation, but I have been in situations where I was under assault verbally and pretty brutal. And I have just felt God's power when I go into it. I've just felt His power give me strength, and I don't want to say too much about that because I want to hear from you. All right, let's go to Deborah in Florida. Good morning, Deborah. What do you think we should do? Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. Believe it or not, I am a Washingtonian, and
okay.
The place when you're talking about, I know where it is. It's very, very beautiful.
Yep.
But every situation is different. I have been through many situations in my 50 years of dealing with several of these issues. And all you have to do, if it wasn't for my belief in God, I would not have been able to prevail and keep going the way I have. And I do carry prayer books with me, and I carry some part of history with me. And what you can share with them, if you have some history that they can relate to, then they will listen as well. Because they get an odd, like when the riots started out in Washington, D.C. this past year. I was caught in the riots in 1968 in front of the White House with a black girl, one of my classmates from Immaculate Conception Academy. And when the kids start talking, I said, let me tell you what happened then and what happens now. And they will listen, especially I find out with the older women, they will listen more than the older men, which is quite phenomenal.
Oh, that's interesting, Deborah. That's fascinating. And you know what? The one like theme that you mentioned that I wanted to say too, this applies to the mother whose email I just read about her grown kids being into social justice and, you know, being at odds with her hating Trump and loving Barack Obama and Michelle and the division between them. And I find in evangelizing people, first of all, for the gospel, and also just trying to speak truth to people, you can't say everything. So you have to pick that thing that touches them, which is what you just said. Get inside their skin for a second and think about their experiences, where they're coming from, and find that one thing that kind of unlocks the door. I think that's the way Jesus did it too. It's like the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus, wanted to know how he could be saved, and Jesus knew, of course, he's Jesus, that this young man loved his money and his possessions. He had kept the commandments according to him, but Jesus went right for the thing, where he would understand how far short he fell and that he could not achieve goodness the way he thought he was achieving it. Anyway, I'm explaining too much, but Deborah, I think you're right. Find that thing, that key to unlock their mind and open them up, and God can help you do that. Deborah, thanks a lot. Great story. Let's go to Cindy in Texas. Good morning, Cindy.
Yes, I completely agree with what the first two callers said. But my question is this. If you can be accosted in a store for not wearing a mask and they call the police and accuse you of criminal trespassing, can't the rioters be accused of criminal trespassing? You know, and I realize the police aren't coming, but, you know, maybe you could call 911, see what happens. But they're criminally trespassing, really.
Well, it's true. And under normal circumstances, that would be a duh. Really, it would be, Cindy. I mean, how could we have survived this long if people could just walk into restaurants and harass people or force them to do chants or raise their hands or inside or even outside on the, you know, the sidewalk outside the restaurant? There used to be some protection, but you are right. And some people I've seen have said, call the police, call the police. I mean, there are areas where the police still actually, you know, are able to respond. I don't know about in D.C., probably not very good chance of that right now, but it's something to remember if we are out dining. That's a good point. Cindy, thank you. All right, we need a guy because I want a guy to speak up here. Kenny in Oklahoma, good morning. How are you?
Hello.
Good morning. How are you?
Hello.
I'm here. Can you hear me? Yes, I am. What's on your mind, Kenny? Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes. First off, I'm a veteran. I was raised Democrat, and I changed in Obama's second term. I was for him on the first one, and when I saw the things that he did, I mean, that just blew me away. I couldn't believe that I was for such a guy. And now that I recognize what's going on with the party I used to support, it just blows me away of what my country has turned into. And I have been trying to get the truth out myself. I have printed up papers about American Family Association and about your show. And I've spent my money to to make copies of them and pass them out. And I've been taking them to churches as far as Paris, Arkansas, from Tulsa, trying to get the truth spread, because I feel an urgency inside me. I feel like God is calling me to push for the truth. And what is right is righteousness, you know.
Yes.
And as far as dealing with the mobs and all like that, well, these people, you got to keep in mind, they are who want to push their own view on other people. These are lawless-minded people, bullies, and trying to be careful dealing with them. But using scripture, I agree with that with the first two callers there on using the scripture and being careful on talking with them, because you don't want to end up in a fight with them if you can help it. You want to end up hugging if you can, you know.
Yeah. Well, or reaching them, saying something that has impact, and which is what you're trying to do. You just said it. You want to be able to speak the truth. You want to change people's hearts and minds. There may not be a hug that comes out of it. I don't think we should. I guess I'm against laying down that expectation. Wouldn't that be nice? But in a mob like that, that's not likely. But Kenny, I think, I was just thinking, one of the things that reaches people, and I've done this, not because I'm so smart, but I think because God led me to do it, excuse me, is to make it really personal in a good way. You know, look in that, the girl that's leaning over you screaming, like one girl was leaning over this diner and saying, "Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian?" You know, just stand up and look her right in the eye. And boldly say, "Yes, I am. Are you?" You know, or something personal. Or where's your mother? Tell me about your mom. What is it that's making you so angry? Or whatever. Make it. It's very disarming to rise above that and make it very personal. And I think people would respond. I've walked through crowds of very hostile, gay, pro gay marriage groups all by myself and engaged with them when the hostility was very great. And I found that the personal touch, I had great conversations, not that nobody hugged me, trust me, but we had great conversations. And I think God uses that. And that's what I would recommend people to consider. Kenny, thank you for all you're doing and those lovely, lovely words. And also just the fact, the testimony that you, look, not about AFR or something, I just don't like to make it about that or even a party, but that you've discovered truth, and that's why you like AFR, and that's the deeper thing, and I'm really grateful. I'm honored that you would say that and that you would do that. Thank you so much. Let's go to Charles in West Virginia. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning, Sandy. I listen to you every morning, thank the Lord.
Well, thank you.
In response to your question, I think the McCluskeys, what happened to them is absolutely abominable. Bless their heart for their protecting their property, and look what happened. In response to your question is about the crowd at the dining. Every resident, legal resident of West Virginia, is allowed to carry an open, unconcealed sidearm. Every resident. And I just can't help but think that if that same thing had existed back during on that dining day, people would not have approached those folks.
Well, it is true that when there are such strong, gun laws, there are, well, I need to say this the right way. Yeah, I think when you know that a state is a conceal or open carry, there is less of this. I think so. But the truth is also, too, Charles, that you, even as a carrier, do you carry?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, so, but if you got these young people, and they were very young, yeah, like their 20s maybe, you know, screaming at you, but they're not armed. They're just leaning over you screaming. You can't shoot them. I mean, I guess you could pull your gun. I don't even know what the law is on that. I guess it varies from state to state. Do you know? Don't you have to be really careful about when you pull your weapon?
Well, yeah, you've got to be threatened a bodily injury, but just the fact that you have one might deter any kind of action towards you.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, that would be, in a normal world, if somebody is doing that to you and they're leaning in your space so that you have to lean way back in your chair to get their face out of your face, that's a threat. Yeah, so in a normal world, you would think you'd be able to just, you know, stand up and whatever you have in your hand, be able to protect yourself. But boy, things are abnormal. They're upside down. I think it's really hard for men right now, Charles, because first of all, I think a lot of younger men, don't know how to defend anyway. They've never been trained. They haven't served in the military. They have no defensive. They've not been in sports. But their natural instinct is to protect. And I think it probably creates a tremendous amount of angst in men right now to see something like that transpire. Do you think I've got that right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So we need to work on a lot of things here. But listen, thanks for that response, and thanks for your knowledge about carrying a gun. All right, so let me go to Sandy in Texas. She's got the last word just for a minute here. Sandy, can you be quick?
I just have one thing. Jesus confronted the crazy demon-possessed person. These people are almost demon-possessed, and I would stand and say, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I've seen that happen. I've seen people calm down when you do that.
Yeah, well, yes, I would probably do that, too. I would probably do that, too, Sandy. So thank you for that, and it's very disturbing for the people listening to that, that's for sure. And I think if you're doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit, it has power. It has power. All right, so what a day, huh? So many things. And those of you in the hurricane-torn area, we just pray for you and hope that you're doing well. And those of you in other stormed areas where there's rioting and protesting, we pray for you too. So just stand strong, okay? Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.